If you're visiting with us, we're really glad that you're here. It's wonderful to have you here with us. We're a group of people that just wants to serve God, to glorify Him, and to praise Him, and to live our lives the way He wants us to. Jesus in John 14:15 said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And that's really all that we're trying to do. We put an emphasis on knowing His Word, studying His Word, and trying to live according to that. And that doesn't mean that we're perfect people. We're not. We all sin and fall short, but we're striving to serve Him in the way He wants to and to worship Him in the way He wants to. So if that intrigues you or interests you, please come back and be with us, study with us. We'd love the opportunity to get to know you better and to spend some time in study. I don't see the... there it is. All right. The sermon this morning is going to be, just so you kind of know the format, we're going to look at three different passages from the Bible. Two are events that actually happened. The third is a parable that Jesus told or a physical story that he wanted to make a spiritual point from. So we'll look at those three passages. We're going to make two brief conclusions about those passages. And then we're going to talk very briefly about applications. So that's what you can expect from the lesson this morning as we move into it. The first passage is the one that Adam read for us in Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. And all these are stories that you're probably very familiar with. If you're not, that's okay. We'll talk about them. We'll read them and talk about them very briefly so that we know the things that we're going to focus on. But I'll not reread this one that Adam just read for us. It's a story that most of us are familiar with where Jesus was anointed by the woman. And there's two other passages that record this that are listed here, Matthew 26 and John chapter 12. The one in John chapter 12 has some nuances that make it seem like it may be a different story. I think it's the same one. We're not going to get into the details of that this morning, but I think it's another account of the same event. And we see there it was Mary, the sister of Martha and of Lazarus that anointed Jesus. And in that passage, we see that she actually also anointed his feet and wiped his feet with her hair, as well as anointing him on the head with this fragrance. The fragrance that was used there, nard, or some translations say spikenard, is apparently from the Middle East, and it's a very fragrant scent. I don't know anything about it. I just read that in some commentaries. But the 300 denarii is a value that, again, we don't obviously use that currency, but it's estimated to be approximately 1 year's wages for a common wage earner, which is a lot of money. I looked at the U.S. Census Bureau's website, and for 2012, the average single person income was $28,000. So in our terms, this would be roughly equivalent to $28,000 worth of perfume that she poured on Jesus' head and feet. So that's a pretty expensive gift, $28,000 in our terms. Just think if you were to do something for Jesus, it was $28,000 at one time. If you look at verse 9 there in the text of Mark chapter 14, Jesus said, "Wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what she has done will be spoken in memory of her." This thing that she did was of great impact on Jesus. I mean, enough that he made a point, this is going to be spoken of her permanently, and so it got recorded in the scriptures for us to see, and we're talking about her 2,000 years later. That really stood out to him enough to say this. Let's go to the next story that we're going to look at, the next passage, and that's in Mark chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 38 through 44. And we'll start verse 38 starts a couple of verses before what we want to actually look at to kind of set the stage for what Jesus was thinking about with the comments that he made. "In his teaching, he was saying, 'Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearance's sake offer long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation.' And he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury, and many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, 'Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury, for they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she owned, all she had to live on.'" Now, they did their contribution differently than us. They had a box, apparently, at the entrance that people would put their money in as they entered, so you could sit there and see what people were doing, see who was contributing as they walked in. And Jesus was sitting across and observing this and saw what she put in. So there's a lot of people putting in a lot of money, and she comes in and puts in 2 small copper coins that were the smallest currency that they had at that point. So we see a difference here as you think about this story. There were people who were giving large sums of money, and then this woman who gave a very tiny amount of money. But we also see a difference that there were people who were giving amounts of money that was not as much of a sacrifice to them, and she was giving all she had to live on. So that even though it was a small value in currency, it was a large value to her. And that's the point that Jesus was making. So there was a difference in what it meant to them. And let's go to our third passage now. Matthew chapter 25. This is the parable of the talents. Matthew 25 verses 14 through 30. This is a little bit longer reading, but let's go through this together. There's a similar parable that's also told in Luke chapter 19 that's listed on the board here. It's not the same parable. It's at a different point in time. Very close in time, but a different point in time. And it is a little bit different, but it has some similar points made within it. But reading here from our passage in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says, "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who had received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So with those stories in mind, let's draw our 2 conclusions that we can make from these. And the first point I'd like to make out of these 3 passages is that God doesn't expect us to give him more than we have or to do more than we are able. If you think about the woman who gave the 2 coins into the contribution, Jesus considered this greater than any of the other amounts of money that were put in. You know, in practicality, it was an absolutely worthless amount. I mean, just think about in our assembly today, if you put in 2 pennies, into the contribution, how does that compare to somebody who's putting in hundreds of dollars? And if you look at our total contribution, so in practicality, it doesn't mean a lot from a monetary standpoint. But Jesus saw this woman as giving more than anybody else did. Didn't matter how much anybody else gave. He didn't expect her to give the same amounts everybody else did. In fact, he commended her for giving more than anybody else did because she gave a small amount, but it was a large amount to her. He only expected her to be able to give out of what she had. And think about Mary. You know, unlike this woman with the 2 coins, this was a very costly gift. As I've said, it was worth, you know, maybe $28,000 in our currency. But it was something that Mary had. It was already something in her possession. He didn't expect her to go out and find something worth $28,000 to give him. If you note in verse 8 of that passage in Mark chapter 14, Jesus said, "She has done what she could," which is the title of our lesson this morning. Even this was something that she had, not something out of her ability to provide or supply. We don't know why she had it. Maybe it was an investment. Maybe it was something a family member had given them, a gift. We don't know anything about their financial resources, but it was something that she had. And Jesus accepted this gift from her and thought greatly of the gift that she gave. If you think about the parable of the talents that we just read, he expected of their return only based on what they had. The 2-talent man wasn't expected to produce like the 5-talent man. He was only expected to produce on what he had been given by his master. And the same was really expected of the 1-talent man. The master just said you could have put it in the bank and gotten interest only, and he'd have been satisfied with that. So they were only expected to produce out of what they had. You know, this shouldn't and probably doesn't surprise us. Love wouldn't expect somebody to give more than what they were able to give. That's not love, to expect a greater gift or a greater offering in any area than what somebody has or is able to do. And we can conclude from these that God expects no more of us than what we have, no more than what we are able to do. She has done what she could. The second conclusion I'd like us to think about is that God does expect us to give what we're able and to do what we are able to do. You know, the stories may not show this as clearly as the parable. I think they support it. The parable shows this very clearly. But let's think about it for a moment. The woman who gave the two coins, the very fact that this was acceptable to Jesus, giving all that she had, demonstrates this. It goes along with the point. He was willing to accept all that she was able to give. And Mary, again, Jesus accepted and commended her from giving this very expensive gift that she had and stated, she has done what she could. But I think the parable of talent shows this extremely clearly. The five and the two talent men were commended for using what they'd been given to their master's benefit. But the one talent man, and this is the guy, if you think about it, this guy actually had the least to give back to the master. The master was going to lose the least out of this guy. I mean, even if he didn't profit anything, it was one talent he lost out of this whole you know, amount that he had distributed to his servants. So the master really didn't lose a lot in the process. But he was condemned harshly for not using what he'd been given, for just coasting on what he was given and not doing all that he could with what the master had given him. Now obviously that's a physical story that Jesus is making a spiritual point with. But the point is, it doesn't matter if we have a lot of capability or a little capability, God expects us to use it for Him. She has done what she could. So concluding these two conclusions, kind of summing these up, God expects us to give for Him all that we are able. But He expects no more of us than we are able. So that's a comforting fact and something that puts some pressure on us all at the same time. You know, Jesse Bacon pointed out to us last week in his sermon on love that God wants our heart. That's the foundation of that relationship. You know, if He has our heart, this is going to come naturally. It really will. We're going to want to do all we can for those we love. It's that way for our families, our spouses, our children, or for our close friends. We want to do what we can for them, and it's the same way with God. If He has our heart, we're going to want to do all that we can and use all the talents and abilities and the things that He's given us in this life for His service. And God, out of His love, will expect no more of us than what He's given us the capability to do. Consider Jesus' statement again. Let's kind of think about that and break that thought down. She has done what she could. What she could tells us that no more than that is expected. She has done what she could. What she could also tells us that she's done all that is expected. She has done what she could. And she has done tells us it wasn't just potential. It wasn't something that she had the capability for but didn't accomplish it. She did it. She took what she had and used it in the service of Jesus. She has done what she could. She fully used the assets she had at her disposal for the cause of Christ. Well, let's make a few applications. Now, this is going to be a short lesson this morning. I'll make up for the really long one I did a few months ago. I'll give you your time back. Let's make an application. Let's think about our attitudes behind this first, our self-expectation. You know, I think sometimes we beat ourselves up thinking that the world is expected of us. We think we have to be like the Apostle Paul. We've got to travel the world and, you know, be missionaries and preach in every other foreign nation if we're going to really be pleasing to God. Or maybe we think we have to stand on the street preacher, be a street corner preacher and stand out on the street corner and proclaim Christ to everybody who passes by. Or maybe we think we have to invite, you know, the whole congregation in our home if we're going to be hospitable. We have to have these great parties and invite everybody over and be able to, you know, put on a big spread if we're going to be hospitable and do what's expected for us. Or maybe we think we've got to be a great public speaker or a great song leader if we're going to really serve the Lord. So we get discouraged and we give up on excelling at what we can do. God expects us to do only what we are able. She has done what she could. The woman gave only those two small copper coins, yet Jesus lauded her greatly. And we still know of her 2,000 years later, just like with Mary. I mean, we're talking about her this morning. This woman gave, you know, basically two pennies in our language. And we're talking about her today because of what she had done. Mary gave a very expensive gift and anointed Jesus with it, but she wasn't out following Him where He was preaching and supporting Him as He went out about everything by being there. She may have supported Him financially, but she wasn't out there with Him. But she did what she could. In the parable, the master was just as pleased with the two-talent man as he was with the five-talent man. Read what he said about him. He was just as pleased. So it didn't matter that he'd done less as far as the actual physical value. What mattered was that he had done what he could. You know, this, again, shouldn't surprise us. If we look at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 through 30, we're not going to read that. It's a passage that you probably are familiar with. And also Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Those are passages that both talk about God has given different members in the church different abilities. Talks about that, uses the body as an example. He's made us all different, have different abilities, different things that we can contribute. And we're told there the church has to have those different people doing different things for the church to function properly. We can't each have the same expectations as far as what we do, or the church wouldn't function and wouldn't be strengthened properly. In Ephesians 4, you see that as it goes on to make the conclusion, the church is strong because of the different abilities and capabilities that people have and put to use. Each of us is going to have a different what she could. On the other hand, though, I think sometimes we make excuses and we don't do what we're able to do. We don't want to extend ourselves out of our comfort zone. It makes us, you know, feel really awkward to step out and do things we haven't been doing before in a different way, and so we make excuses and don't do it. Or we want our time for our own personal uses, and so we don't put that time to Christ's use. We convince ourselves, yeah, I don't have the time for it. Or we want more physical belongings for ourselves. And so we convince ourselves that we just don't have the money to give because, you know, we're basing it on having what we want to have, and so I don't have any money left to give, or don't have the money left to give that in my heart I know I ought to be giving in supporting the Lord's work. Look at how the master reacted to the one talent man. You know, you might think he'd go easier on him because it was only that one talent, you know, and the guy was scared and made some excuses for why he didn't go out and put things at risk and try to grow that and use it for his master's service. So you might think, well, maybe he'd go easy on him. But he was condemned harshly for not stepping up and using what his master had given him. You wicked, lazy slave. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He had not done what he could. Well, let's make a few practical applications. Obviously, this is not going to be an all-inclusive list. I'm going to throw a few things out just to get your wheels turning. You're going to have to think about yourself. You're going to have to look at your own thoughts and your own life to determine if you have done what you could. But think about the contribution. This is an obvious one because this is one of the examples that we looked at with the woman giving the two coins and Mary giving the valuable oil. Are you giving what you can? What about evangelizing? You know, it's really initially uncomfortable or awkward to talk to people about the Lord, people we don't know or people maybe that we don't have a real close relationship to, and sometimes even people we do have a close relationship to. That can make it even more awkward to have those conversations. But we need to talk to people about their need for the Lord. Anybody who's outside of the body of Jesus. Maybe your ability is to speak to all those who are willing to listen and to teach them, including strangers. Maybe your ability is to study with closer friends. Maybe your ability is to just invite people and get them in here so that other people who are good at teaching and comfortable with that can take care of that and can help them to understand what their needs are. And just get them interested and get them here. Are you doing what you can? What about encouraging? There's a lot of brothers and sisters here to build up and to support. Lots of people to spend time with. Lots of people to get to know outside of these four walls when we're here just to worship God. Are you doing what you can? What about your prayer and Bible study? Those are the foundations of our relationship with God and the foundations of our strength as a Christian. Are you doing what you can? For those who have children at home, what about training your children? Having thought out and planned home Bible studies and devotional times, prayer time, training up your children in the Lord. Are you doing what you can? What about teaching Bible classes here? You know, maybe your ability is to be a really good Bible student. Just be prepared and be a contributor in the class in the ways that you can contribute, whether it's making comments or just being there and supporting the class. But maybe you have the ability to teach and you're not stepping up. Or maybe you are teaching, but you're not working to improve the kind of teacher you are to be the best teacher that you can be. Are you doing what you can? You know, that list could go on and on. We could talk all day long about the different ways that we could apply this. At the end of the day, in every aspect of your life, is Jesus going to say she or he has done what she could or he could? That's all that's expected, all that you're able to do. Nothing more, nothing less. If you would take out your songbooks now and turn to the song that was announced. We're going to sing that as a song of encouragement. You know, if you're a follower of the Lord and you're not doing what you can, change that. Make a resolution in your heart right now that you're going to be what God wants you to be, that you're going to give all that you have to Him and in your service to Him. But if you've not put on Christ in baptism, then you haven't even started in that pathway to do what you can. And if you've learned enough about what the Lord expects of you to put him on in baptism today to become a Christian, this is an opportunity for you to make that happen. For you to become part of the Lord's body, put on Christ in baptism, have your sins washed away, and start that walk with him so that you can begin doing all that you can for the Lord. Whatever your needs are, if you have anything that we can take care of publicly, please make your way to the front while we stand and sing.